Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the life of Jesus. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 7. We were talking about the dangers of human tradition. As Jesus teaches us in this passage, we need to be very careful with human tradition. There is a danger to elevating human tradition to the point where either it is equal to or greater than the Word of God. So as I encouraged you on the last program, carefully evaluate your life. Carefully evaluate what you believe, what you practice, what you hold dear, and ask yourself, is that a human tradition or is that from the Word of God? And if you find an instance where you're following after a human tradition and the Word of God directly contradicts that human tradition, then I urge you, my friend, follow the Word of God. Go where there is safety. Know that if you walk in the path that Jesus Christ and His apostles have blazed for us, that there is safety, that you know that you're on the right path toward eternal life. Jesus goes on to talk some more about how this business of washing one's hands does not really make them clean. He says in verse number 14 to the multitude, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." One of the things I think we can take away from this is that these practices of making oneself ceremonially clean didn't really make someone clean in the sense of free from sin. It doesn't make someone more righteous. As Jesus says, the things that defile a person aren't external, they're internal. They come from within. So to think that something outside my body can make me unrighteous in the eyes of God is just not true. It's the things that come from within, those are the things that determine whether or not I am righteous. Another point to consider, we know later on that the dietary restrictions under the old law were eliminated. We know this from Peter's encounter in Acts chapter 10 and from several other passages in the rest of the epistles. Dietary restrictions were removed. This would have been a very difficult thing for a Jewish follower of Jesus to accept. And in fact, we see the evidence of that in Galatians chapter 2. If you take a look at Galatians chapter 2, you'll find that some Jewish Christians were still holding to the dietary restrictions found under the old law. And in fact, they took it so far as they would not even eat with a Gentile Christian. Jesus is laying the groundwork with teachings like this. He's laying a foundation for all of those provisions within the old law to be eliminated. We go on in verse number 17. He enters a house. He tries to get away from the crowd, it appears, and his disciples ask him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and defile a man." The old law had been very specific in teaching the Jewish people that there were certain things they needed to do to keep themselves clean. Jesus's point is that those traditions, those commandments that had been given to the Jewish people by God through Moses, those really didn't have anything to do with righteousness or unrighteousness. What makes a person unrighteous is not the food that they put in their mouth. What makes a person unrighteous is the evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornications, the lies, the deceits that are down inside of a person's heart. As he says to the Pharisees when he's pronouncing woes upon them in Matthew chapter 23, you need to clean the inside of the dish first. It's the inside of the dish that matters. The outside of the dish is irrelevant. And that's true in our lives as well. If we really want to be clean and pure in the eyes of God, then we need to clean out what's inside, because that is what defiles us in the eyes of God. And ultimately, that's what we find in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the writers of Hebrews talks about how when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, our hearts are sprinkled with his blood from an evil conscience. Our hearts are sprinkled with his blood from an evil conscience. So the cleansing that we find in Jesus Christ is an internal cleansing. It's the purification of what lies within us. It's not concerned with external washings and the trappings of things like keeping a very strict dietary regimen. Those things are irrelevant. What matters in the eyes of God is that your heart is purified and that you take the time to clean that heart out. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the grace that God has given to us in Jesus Christ, we can find cleansing from the Lord. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. It looks like once again Jesus was attempting to get away, if you will. He needed some time away, and so he went to a region that was predominantly Gentile. Tyre and Sidon, these were the ancient cities of the Phoenician nation. Now, the original cities, Tyre and Sidon, had been destroyed by the Babylonians back in the days of the Old Testament prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and later on after prophecy had ended in the days of Alexander the Great. So those original cities were long gone, but there were cities that were built with those names near those original locations, and this is where Jesus goes. These are not Jewish cities. These are Gentile cities, and it makes me wonder, once again, if Jesus wasn't trying to find some seclusion. I imagine that at this point in his ministry, that the weight of what he is doing has become a very difficult burden to bear. But as Mark tells us, he couldn't get away. People knew it. And a woman comes to him who has a young daughter with an unclean spirit. She came to him and she fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demons out of her daughter. So here's this woman. She's lying at the feet of Jesus. She's a Gentile. She has no promise of receiving anything from Jesus. Remember, Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the household of Israel. That was his mission. But this woman, she has no hope without him. So she falls at his feet and pleads with him, "Heal my daughter." Jesus says in verse 27, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." That might seem like a cruel analogy, but what Jesus is saying is the good that he's doing is intended for the household of Israel, not for the Gentiles. She answers him in a very clever way. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." This response apparently impressed Jesus. And so he says, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." So this woman's faith and her persistence convinced Jesus to grant her request. You know, that's a lesson for us, isn't it? It's easy to be trapped in a sin or in multiple sins where it doesn't seem that we can ever escape. And we fail and we fail and we fail. And if we're not careful, we can come to a point where we just give up. Well, we need to take this woman's example to heart. She never gave up. She persisted until Jesus granted her request. It's a lesson for me, and I know it's a lesson for all of us. He leaves Tyre and Sidon. He comes to the region of Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee. That's a long, far away. Decapolis is on the southeastern side of the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Tyre and Sidon are up on the coast of the Mediterranean, so Jesus is going a long way away. And you might remember, this was near the region where Jesus had cast out all of those demons from that man, the demons who called themselves Legion. It's in this same region that that incredible miracle took place. The people from that region bring to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." You know, people who saw these miracles just could not keep from sharing the good news with others. These miracles were so astounding that not only did people marvel, but they just couldn't keep from sharing it with other people. My friends, we've seen that a few times already in the book of Mark, and again, that should get our attention. What good things has the Lord done for you this past week, this past month, this past year? Have you shared with someone the good news of Jesus Christ, how he has saved you from your sins, how he has raised you to walk in newness of life? Have you shared that with someone else? We see people who have been given second chances. This man had no hope apart from Jesus. He knew it, and everyone around him knew it. And my friend, the same is true for you and I. We have no hope without Jesus Christ, and we need to share that with others.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that Jesus expects us to obey him. Jesus said many people think they are going to heaven, but only a few will find the narrow way to eternal life. Jesus wondered why people called him Lord but refused to obey him. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus expects us to listen to his teachings and follow what he says. If you want to learn more about the commands of Jesus and the need for obedience, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.